progressive voice of Minnesota. It's another producer show filling in for Matt McNeil on your Friday afternoon. Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in Matt's seat today. Hunter, how's it going?
Great.
Good to have you back in. We've been busy this week. I did the Wednesday show. Yeah. You filled in Thursday for Doug Padgett. I'm in today. I think I'm in Monday as well. Then we get you on Tuesday.
I know. We've really, the past 2 weeks, been here pretty much every day one of us is in.
Been ramping it up. Always good to be back in here on AM 950, filling in for Matt McNeil. By the way, if you miss Matt, he is back coming up on Wednesday. He will be back from his undisclosed location where he's doing undisclosed things. He's basically on assignment. That's the old thing you say in broadcast school there. They're on assignment. They're not on vacation. They're on assignment. So Matt is off doing his undisclosed things.
There's not going to be much Matt will have to talk about on Wednesday.
No. Matt's had nothing to say on Twitter and Facebook. He's just been posting puppies and rainbows and saying how happy he is. And, you know, he really feels like this country's going in the right direction. And his perspectives has been changed since he's been gone.
I'm surprised he doesn't call into his own show and then take the whole hour. Because he could go off right now,
He could. Matt probably could do a little guest hosting thing. I mean, Doug Padgett's hosted the show from the road before. Mm-hmm. You got to get Matt on that. I think I just tempted him too much.
Yeah.
That he's going to take us up on that offer at some point. By the way, want to mention on Monday during the Matt McNeil show, we have a very special guest lined up. Really special guest. I can't say who it is, but a lot of fans of the show, I think, are going to be excited about our guest coming up on Monday. We just talked to this person at about 2:30, recorded the interview, and I think you agree. People will be pleasantly surprised by who we're going to be speaking with on Monday.
It will blow their minds.
It will blow their minds, exactly, yeah. So look forward to that. Check that out coming up on Monday. A very special guest on the Matt McNeil Show, as it'll be myself and I think it's Eric on Monday. You're doing the State Fair on Monday, aren't you?
Yes. Yep, going for fun. I'll be there on Saturday for I'm Awake. They're broadcasting live at the State Fair, and I'll be producing on site. But on Monday, I'm going with my friends.
Yeah, I'm Awake, by the way, has a huge plan for their show tomorrow. They are doing a live broadcast from the State Fair, and then after that, they're going to have the Native Dancers performing. I think I got the name of that group wrong.
The Native Pride Dancers. Yes. Yep, they'll be dancing as soon as the show is done on the stage. That's right behind where they'll be broadcasting. So that will be very fun. I've seen the Native Pride dancers before, and they're fabulous. They have amazing outfits and really cool dances. So I'm really excited. It's going to be fun doing I'm Awake and then seeing the show.
Yeah, so don't miss that. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. That is tomorrow from 2 until 3 p.m. If you can't make it down to the State Fair, we'll have their live broadcast airing on AM 950. Then, of course, the Native Pride Dancers will be performing right after them. So a lot of exciting stuff coming up from the State Fair. Also, by the way, speaking of the State Fair, you can meet Laura Headland of Food Freedom Radio. I believe she's down at the fair most weekdays from 3 until 5 p.m., so pretty much when we're down there live. So maybe bring your phone, use that TuneIn app to get KTNF. Yeah. Walk on down and say hi to Laura.
Yep, she's there today, I know, so I think she just got there. And then she won't be there Saturday, but again, me, Robert Pilot, Wendy, Uncle Curtis, we'll all be there. So whatever day you go, you can meet some AM 950.
I got to get down there myself. I have not been to the State Fair in years, I'm ashamed to say.
What's your favorite thing at the fair?
Oh, I hate saying this. The Sweet Martha cookies are always good.
Well, yeah. They're solid. I mean, you can't go wrong saying that. They're delicious.
Anything on a stick, of course. And the people watching is just interesting to do, too.
That is what Eric said when I asked him.
Yeah.
That's a great answer.
It is, because they're so, you get people coming from all around the state. It's they don't call it the Great Minnesota Get-Together for nothing, so I got to try to make it out there at some point. Although yesterday, if you tried making it to the State Fair, you had some trouble, as I believe they were reporting, I forgot which media outlet was reporting this, but basically every park and ride lot, easy for me to say, in the entire metro area that was supposed to be taking people to the fair was completely full.
Wow.
Yeah. My mom texted me saying, I can't go to the fair. There's nowhere to park at any park and ride station.
Oh, that's concerning.
Yeah.
That's what my plan was for tomorrow.
Well, it was day one on a really nice day. I mean, I was even out there biking. In fact, even listening to part of your show and Ellie's show as well yesterday. And Yeah, it was just a beautiful day. I imagine parking's going to be a lot easier today with kind of this gloomy weather we're having outside.
Yeah, but Minnesotans, they'll go.
They'll still go out
rain, sleet, snow, they'll go to the state fair.
Absolutely. So speaking of the state fair, there was actually a debate that just took place about, probably wrapped up a little less than 15 minutes ago. This was Amy Klobuchar debating the Republican challenger for her seat, Jim Neuberger, in a race that I think we can pretty much go and call for Amy Klobuchar, but they did debate just a few minutes ago, and I didn't have a chance to listen to it because, well, Hunter, you didn't either, because we're busy working people. We don't live up to that liberal stereotype where we just take government benefits and sit around all day and do nothing. No, we were working, so we were not able to catch that Amy Klobuchar-Jim Neuberger debate. But what I want to know, if you happened to listen to that debate, or maybe you were at the state fair and heard it, I want to know what your thoughts were on that. I just want to know, was that as big of a train wreck as I could imagine it could be? Because Jim Neuberger certainly has some very extreme views. I know he made that very nasty comment about having that rail line directly from St. Cloud to the prisons in the Twin Cities. I believe that was him that made that comment. So he debated Amy Klobuchar just a few minutes ago. I believe they debated from 2 until 3 o'clock. Hunter and I were not able to catch it, but if you heard it, I'd love to know what your thoughts were on that debate and what happened. I've been watching it on Twitter to see what's been happening with that debate, and really not a whole lot of tweeting going on with that. By the way, if you have any thoughts or if you listen to it, call us 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Just watching some tweets from the debate, Amber says, "Who the heck is Jim Neuberger? Just listen to him debate Amy Klobuchar, and he's really, really dumb," is what she says. We had another person who said he basically sounded like a third grader during the debate. And I guess his big selling point is that Amy Klobuchar wants 6 more years in Washington. That's not a very good argument. I think a lot of people would actually be in favor of that.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is what she is seeking.
Yeah. Pretty much. And last election, she won 85 of the 87 counties here in Minnesota and got 65% of the vote. That's pretty good for what's termed as a swing state, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say, is why there hasn't been much attention on this is because most people already have their minds made up. And even Republicans vote for Amy Klobuchar. I mean, there's the ones that are always down ballot Republicans, but you're more moderate Republicans even vote Amy.
You know, we talked about this earlier. You're very involved with your Indivisible group in Chaska trying to get behind your candidate for the state house, Donzel Liggett, and you were saying your district has voted Republican pretty much every year in every election for years and years and years, but wasn't Amy Klobuchar the one Democrat who has won in your district over in Chaska?
Every time she's ran, she has won, and she is the only Democrat that wins in this district and consistently wins, and pretty handily, too.
Yeah, so that's Amy Klobuchar, of course, running for re-election this fall, debating Jim Neuberger. Boy, I really want to catch some of the highlights from that debate, or lowlights, because he is definitely an extremist Republican, to say the least, probably why he is running against Amy Klobuchar, because no other Republican wanted to. They were probably more focused on that Tina Smith race.
Mm-hmm.
Although they didn't exactly get the heavy hitters on that race, it was pretty much Karen Housley, and I don't really remember any other big-name Republicans that decided to jump in that race, do you? I mean,
it was kind of decided as far back as I can remember that Housley was going to be the candidate, so.
I was thinking at least there would be rumors, whether it was that race or the governor's race, you know, Senate and governor are big races, that some of the larger names in Minnesota Republican politics, like an Eric Paulson or, heck, even a John Klein or a Stuart Mills, might take up one of those statewide races, but none of them did. The only big name we got was, of course, everyone's favorite Tim Pawlenty, who flamed out in the primary for the Republicans. Other than that, there really was no other names that entered any of those races, and that's probably why Republicans have not won a statewide election in Minnesota since 2006, when Tim Pawlenty won re-election here in the land of 10,000 lakes.
So has Tim Pawlenty decided what he's going to do with his life now? Is he going to go back to lobbying?
I don't know what he's going to do. Maybe he can invite Eric Paulson and Jason Lewis over with him. We can unseat those guys. I don't know if Jason Lewis would go lobbying with him, but I bet you Eric Paulson would.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That's right up his alley.
How about this? The double P.
Paulson
lobbying
Palenque?
Firm. Yeah, yeah, the double P lobbying firm.
Paulson. PP.
Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't even intentionally set that up. Yeah, they could get their own lobbying firm over there in New York. Jason Lewis can go do a podcast or something. I don't know, whatever he wants to do.
Get a YouTube channel.
Yeah, get a YouTube channel, something like that. Then he'll probably get banned like Alex Jones.
Yeah, exactly.
952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, the phone number at the station. So I was talking about how Neuberger, the Republican candidate for Senate running against Amy Klobuchar, an extremist. Well, I don't want you to forget about another extremist Republican that is also running for a high-profile seat, and that is in the 1st Congressional District, which pretty much represents all of southern Minnesota, and that is Jim Hagedorn. And the reason I bring that up is that even though that was Tim Walz's seat and it's trended Republican in congressional elections for years and years, I was looking at the 538 ratings, and they are actually giving Hagedorn a slight edge over Dan Feehan, the DFL candidate in that district, which kind of surprised me because Hagedorn, which we'll get into in just a couple of minutes, definitely has some extremist views. He said some really nasty things about Democrats, women's, minority groups. Basically, he's just about offended anyone you can possibly think of from his days as a blogger. He is in a slight favorite against Dan Feehan, which, again, I don't quite understand because Feehan is a really strong candidate for the Democrats. If you haven't heard of him, he's a Red Wing native. He was in the military, participated in the Iraq War, so he's a veteran, worked for the Obama administration. I believe he was something like the interim assistant secretary of defense in the Obama administration, so definitely a high-profile guy. And I think the perfect candidate for the DFL in that area kind of reminds me a lot of Tim Walz. But he's running against Hagedorn, and 538's only giving Feehan a 4-9 chance to beat Hagedorn. So,
you know what you got to factor in, though, is that Tim Walz is the candidate at the top of the ticket.
Yeah.
So I believe that will draw a lot of his voter base out.
And if you do have any friends in southern Minnesota, just remind them of what Jim Hagedorn did with his blog in the early 2000s called Mr. Conservative. Made just about every group you could think of a target with some really nasty things. Let's go with some of his favorites. Back in the early 2000s, or actually I think it was the late 2000s, he launched some attacks at then presidential hopeful Barack Obama, as he said that it was a low-budget remake of Eddie Murphy's hit comedy Coming to America. Ouch. In 2002, he called Democratic Senators Maria Cantwell and Patty Murray undeserving bimbos and tennis shoes. He also had some nasty things to say about Native Americans, also African Americans. So you can find a lot of his writings from Blue Stem Prairie, just to remind people of what you would get if Jim Hagedorn is elected to Congress. And by the way, he's bigly taking Donald Trump's word in for Donald Trump. I think he would be thrilled if the orange guy came down and campaigned for him. So that is Hagedorn. If you have any people that live, any friends, relatives that live in the 1st Congressional District down in southern Minnesota, let them know. Vote for Dan Feehan, a really strong candidate for the DFL, and stay the heck away from Jim Hagedorn. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Gary from Minneapolis wants to chat about the state fair. Gary, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I was there yesterday. First, I talked about the politics part. I stopped at the labor booth and talked to the nurses union, told them, gave them a lot of credit for fighting for Medicare-style single-payer health care, and then talked a little, jabbed with them a little bit. And then I went to the DFL booth, and Tim Walz was there, and I briefly told him I'm an ardent Lori Swanson supporter through the years, but now I'm for him wholeheartedly. I just briefly talked to him because he had a lot of people that were there. I told him he handled that debate with that Johnson guy really great. That Johnson got the same old talking points, that nonsense about the government don't work right and all that, and anti-government. And he had answers for all of it. They really hit him good on the global warming, climate change stuff. They've been doing that garbage ever since Rotten Ronnie pulled the solar panels off the White House, because they're beholden to the oil coal industry and all this stuff. We're the only ones that got our heads in the sand, the ones that run this country around the world, on the threat that is to all human life. But anyways, Then I want to say two nice things about two things that I suggest to listeners see at the fair. They got these dog shows, these dogs that do tricks, and it's really great to have a lumberjack over there. You can ask the information where it is. I thought that was one of the highlights. And then they have a talent show. They have entertainment there all day long, I believe, at this place that's right by that Space Needle outdoor stand. And the kids do a contest for talent for about an hour, hour and a half at 6 p.m. every day. I think it's every day, at least just about every day. Anyway, that's about it.
All right. Hey, very cool, Gary. Hey, one more thing. It's been a while since I've talked with you. Do you have a joke of the day for us?
Yeah, I try to remember the ones I haven't told. What do you call the alligator with a vest?
All right, what do you got?
Investigator.
Ah, nice. Very fitting with the times we live in right now. Thank you very much, Gary. Hey,
okay.
Hey,
thank
Gary,
you.
Thanks for calling. Always great to hear from Gary, and glad he had some recommendations for us at the State Fair as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next, we're going to be speaking with Paul Metza, the host of the Wall of Power Radio Hour, which you can hear Saturdays at 6 p.m. on AM 950. He's got a new song out. He's going to tell us about that coming up in just a few minutes.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
Atheists Talk is the radio show for free-thinking Minnesotans. Listen on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Every Sunday, we bring you science, philosophy, politics, and plain old fun from an atheist's point of view. Visit our website at minnesotaatheists.org for more details. Tune in to Atheists Talk Radio Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's good radio without the good book.
Waking up is easy when you look forward to breakfast. Serve 7 days a week at the Downtowner Woodfire Grill in St. Paul. Try eggs your way with hash browns, bacon, or sausage. There are four delicious varieties of Eggs Benedict that should not be missed, and buttermilk pancakes, waffles, or French toast are always fresh off the griddle. How about a Bloody Mary or screwdriver from the bar? The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is located at 253 West 7th Street with plenty of free parking, or online at downtownerwoodfire.com.
In honor of the great Minnesota get-together, where will you find unbeatable appliance savings? On a stick, of course! At all 10 Warner's Deli stores. Bosch and KitchenAid dishwashers at our guaranteed lowest price, plus free installation done right by our specialists. Laundry pairs for as little as $3.99 each. Big savings on French door refrigerators. And unbeatable savings on more kitchen packages than you can count. Appliance savings on a stick. Through September 4th, exclusively from Warner's Deli.
Ah, how do you like that? I feel like it's Saturday evening and I get to hear some good music. This is AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in for Matt McNeil on your Friday afternoon. You're, of course, hearing the theme of the Wall of Power Radio Hour with Paul Metza, which you can hear Saturdays at 6 p.m. Cool music, really fun interviews that he has with different guests, some in the music industry, some not. But overall, I've got to check out that show. Hunter, you've been listening to that for a while. I know some of our other producers really enjoy that show, so check it out.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of it. I love the history of Minnesota music, and Paul's a great host.
Absolutely. Well, and speaking of which, we have Paul Metza, the host of the Wall of Power radio show, joining us on the line right now. Paul, how's it going today?
It's going great. Thanks for having me, Brett, and yo over there to Hunter. You guys are having a great show this afternoon. I'm enjoying what I've heard so far.
Always good to hear from you, Paul. So you've got a new song that you've just released that I believe is available now. Tell us a little bit about that.
The song is called Ain't Gonna Whistle Dicks Anymore, and it was my response to the tragic alt-right march in Charlottesville, August 12th of 2017. And there was a fellow named Charles Pierce. He was actually on the Wall of Power Radio Hour about a month ago, and he writes for Esquire.com, and he's on MSNBC and CNN. Great liberal blogger, wonderful cat. And he wrote this article a day after Charlottesville and said, well, I won't be Whistling Dixie anymore. And I said, and if that's not a title for a song. So I wrote it down and drove up to the Iron Range to hang out for a weekend and pretty much jotted all my ideas down. I came back to my little Northeast home and sat down at the kitchen table and took about 2 hours to write. So it was really kind of inspired. Mm-hmm. And so I was sitting around and I said, well, geez, you know, I demoed it up in a basement studio here in Northeast. Then one night I go, it was so obvious. I didn't even think about it. I said, Willie Walker has got to sing this song. Willie and I have been playing weekly gigs at Shaw's every Thursday night at 5 o'clock for 7 years. But last 3 years, his career has just taken off. He's been around the world. He just got back 2 days ago from Switzerland. And he's really, I believe, the second coming of Sam Cooke. In fact, he recently won the Living Blues Magazine Critics' Choice Award just 10 days ago for Best Outstanding Blues Singer in their annual poll. So he came in and sang, and then I was sitting around. I always wanted to do a project with Gary Hines and the Sounds of Blackness, literally on my bucket list. So I got a hold of Gary, and who's the director, sent him a file, the song file, and he said we'd love to be involved. So one thing led to another, and I hooked up with Scotty Harrell, the CEO of Rock the Cause Records. Scotty is also a instructor at the High School for the Recording Arts in St. Paul. So that's where we did the recording. And Scott released it on Rock the Cause Records. We released it on August 8th. You can get it on Spotify or iTunes Music right now for, I believe it's $1.29. And so we're very excited about it. We're getting an incredible response.
Oh, very cool. So that's up on Spotify. I might have to throw that on one of my Spotify playlists.
Oh, that would be phenomenal. In fact, we just got a great review a couple of days ago from a magazine and radio show in Chicago called the Journal of Gospel Music. Mm-hmm. I'll just read a quick paragraph. This multicultural mashup of genres, think Nitty Gritty Dirt Band meets gospel choir, is the ideal backdrop for a song denouncing white nationalism and its brazen disregard of historic fact and common sense.
That's a great review of it as well. And I think it's such a fitting song to have in these times now that we've really seen the resurgence of, well, essentially, I don't even like calling it the alt-right. It's white supremacy. It's really had a big resurgence. And music is a really powerful medium to counter those types of things that sometimes come back. And I think I've heard a little bit of the song. It does a great job doing that. And I'm sure you'd agree that that is the message you're trying to get out there.
Well, if you look at any great social movement over time, case in point would be the civil rights movement. It was the songs of Aretha Franklin, mm-hmm, and Sam, yeah, Cooke and Bob Dylan and Woody Guthrie and Joan Baez and Phil Oakes that helped propel the movement. And it's something, you know, that's kind of been in my wheelhouse for years. One of the things I'm most proud of what I do with my music. And I think the combination of the song, Willie Walker's incredible lead vocal, and these truly heavenly background vocals by the Sounds of Blackness makes it a very potent vehicle to use in these most trying of times. For God's sakes, it's 2018, and we have white supremacy back, yeah, on the back on the scene, Nazis reappearing out of the woodwork. The alt-right, oh my God, it's unbelievable. I mean, the North won the Civil War, and the Allies defeated the fascists in the Second World War. These things are already done. We already knew that the right people won. So we hope the song can help inspire people that are fighting this every day, like AM 950 and you know, all the great progressive politicians out there. They can use it for their rallies or to listen at home and be inspired. However they want to use it, it's fine with us. The other thing, too, we've got about another 10 days. We have an Indiegogo campaign. We're raising funds so we can do a couple of videos. We're almost ready to drop one illustrated lyric video next week. So if people go to paulmetza.com, there's a link right at the top of my website that they can go, and we certainly appreciate any donations. Our goal is, Brett, that the net proceeds of the song will go to benefit the Southern Poverty and Law Center, as well as the High School for the Recording Arts.
Oh, that's a great place to raise money for as well. Again, we're speaking with Paul Metza, the host of the Wall of Power Radio Hour, which you can hear Saturdays at 6 p.m., then replayed Sundays at 4 p.m. He's got a new song out, Ain't Going to Whistle Dixie Anymore, which we're going to listen to in just a couple of seconds. Paul, one more time, where can people get that song?
They can, if they subscribe to Spotify, they can get it, or they can also get it on Apple iTunes. Hopefully, if we raise enough money with the Indiegogo campaign, we'll actually press physical CDs. But in the meantime, Apple iTunes or Spotify, or come and see a show of mine. I play it Wednesday nights when I play over with the Green Lantern in St. Paul with Sonny Earl, and Thursday nights with either Willie Walker or Sonny at Shaw's at 5 o'clock, 16th in the University. But I think people are really going to dig it. And Brett, I really want to thank you for having me on. And I'll hang up and listen to it on the radio.
Absolutely. We've been speaking with Paul Metza, host of the Walla Power Radio Hour. Again, check that out coming up tomorrow at 6 p.m. on AM 950. Hunter, let's go ahead and play that song from Paul Metza, Ain't Going to Whistle Dixie Anymore. And that'll take us into the break here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Saw your tiki torch parade on the blood red evening news. I remember Timothy McVeigh and the Jesus was a Jew. Benedict Arnold waits for you in the hottest place in hell. The screaming souls will drown you out. Your Sikh and rebel yell. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. Bury that song in the land of cotton, deep in the Delta mud to be long forgotten. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. Soldiers that were left behind, they salute on wounded knee. Sacrifice of the highest kind, from Gettysburg to Normandy. Burn your crosses, match your face, sting the apple maddox blues. Woody Guthrie told us long ago, fascist born bound to lose. Fascist born and bound to lose. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. Build that song in the land of cotton, deep in the Delta mud to be long forgotten. Virginia, August 12th of 17. Emancipation Park, where Dixie flags flew across the village green. Four wheels of hate down 4th Street raced, where Heather die. Now her Blue Ridge Mountain angel voice forever magnified, forever magnified. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. Tell that song in the land of Pat, deep in the dust and mud to be long forgotten. I ain't gonna whistle Dixie anymore. Dixie anymore.
Ain't gonna whistle
Dixie anymore. Dixie anymore.
Ain't gonna whistle
Dixie anymore.
That's a new song from Paul Metza, just released. Ain't Going to Whistle Dixie Anymore. What a song. Certainly fitting for the times. Paul wrote that in the wake of the Charlottesville protests that we had last year. And you can get that song, Ain't Going to Whistle Dixie Anymore. You can get that on Spotify, iTunes, or just visit paulmetza.com. Again, Ain't Going to Whistle Dixie Anymore. Make sure you go out and support Paul Metza. What a song he wrote. Definitely very cool. We're going to take a break and get back into politics in just a few minutes on AM 950.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary, products and services since 1977.
Hi, Minnesota. Norman Goldman here. Join me every weekday from 5 to 8 p.m. for some clarity, wit, and wisdom on the latest issues of the day here on AM 950. Today on the show, have you heard the latest one? MAGA, my attorney got arrested. All right, it's Friday. We're doing our regular features. We'll see if Benedict Donald has burned the world down. Join me for 3 live hours of the Norman Goldman Show every weeknight here from 5 to 8 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
The progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in for Matt McNeil, who is back in studio coming up on Wednesday. Norm kind of caught me off guard where with that promo he made. MAGA, my attorney got arrested. I love that. I know you're a big fan of Norman Goldman as well.
Mm-hmm, I love that show.
Yeah, that's what MAGA stands for now. Not Make America Great Again, My Attorney Got Arrested. Gregory Rich, host of Drink in the Style, which you can hear Sundays at 5 p.m. He also had a nice acronym, UCC. What was it? Unindicted Criminal Conspiracy, I think. So you can say, you see, see, get that? There you go. That's what he came up with the other day. I can't take credit for that one. But that's Gregory Rich of Habitation Furnishing and Design. Throw you see out there. That is Unindicted Criminal Corruption. Something like that. I totally butchered that. Maybe Greg can call in and correct me if he's listening right now. Brad is in Robbinsdale. He has some thoughts on shuttle buses. Brad, how you doing today?
Yeah, since you talked about the overcrowding of the park and ride, this is maybe really a neat and little known resource, although I'm sure a lot of people do actually know about it. It's the shuttle bus that runs on a dedicated line from the University TCF Bank Stadium parking lot to the state fair. And I mean, it's, you get on the bus, 10 minutes later, you're walking into the state fair. And the only caveat I would have is that you know, I guess during the football game coming up next week, it will be completely filled in. And there might be also some student orientation toward the end of next week as well. And I have a joke.
All right. Let's see if it can beat Gary's joke from earlier.
Okay. What are the three similarities between Trump and a Harley Davidson?
Oh, boy. What do you got?
And they are, they're both too big, both too noisy, and Stormy Daniels does not like riding either one.
Oh, man. Well done, Brad. Hey, thanks so much for the call. Ooh, Gary, the bar has just been raised. I think Brad might have one-upped you with that joke there.
Don't encourage Gary to get dirty, though, because he's got...
That is true. We do kind of handicap Gary in that he can't tell his dirty jokes on the air. By the way, if you want to hear any of Gary's, non-FCC-approved jokes, you got to go to the Blue State Ball coming up next
exactly.
year.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're not sure when that's going to be. Probably February and March at some point next year. Hopefully celebrating a blue wave, I'm hoping.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where you can catch Gary and also his dance moves as well. Look at me putting Gary over. How do you like that?
Yeah. Well, Gary is the star of the Blue State Ball. So much fun hanging out with Gary there.
Who needs Tom Hartman and Norman Goldman? Yeah. We can just bring Gary out there.
True star.
Absolutely. We can bring Mark and Fridley out there. We got a lot of listeners who have probably gone to just about every Blue State Ball.
Mm-hmm.
How many have you gone to? Has it been one or two?
No, that was my first one.
That was your first one, wasn't it? Yeah, my first one was, I think, it was in 2016. Yeah, I think it was 16 because I ended up talking with Jack Rice for a few minutes about the Democratic primary at that point when he was out of the Blue State Ball. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205, the phone number at the station. So I've been watching TV recently. You may have noticed that the Republicans have been starting to run some ads trying to tie congressional candidates to Keith Ellison, of all things. They're really trying to capitalize on that controversy that he's had with the domestic abuse allegations. And again, I'm going to kind of make this my pet issue every time I'm on the air. We cannot vote for Doug Wardlow, the Republican candidate for attorney general, just a really extreme right-wing guy who worked for an organization called the Alliance Defending Freedom. Again, if you're not familiar with the Alliance Defending Freedom, it's a conservative Christian legal nonprofit in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's been labeled, of all things, an anti-gay hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. So it's already a hate group. He's done work for them. And basically, he's just been a real mean guy for this organization, doing anything in his power to make life miserable for anyone who's part of the LGBT community, especially those that are transgender. Some of the things he's done working for the Alliance Defending Freedom include suing and threatening to sue school districts that allow transgender students to use restrooms in accordance with their gender identity. He's also cited discredited researchers in that case that argue that allowing transgender people to use restroom facilities in accordance with their identity would pose a danger to other students and violate their privacy rights. He also successfully argued that a Detroit funeral home could fire a transgender employee because of the owner's religious opposition to transgender people. So that's essentially what Doug Wardlow has been doing, working for the Alliance for Defending Freedom for the past few years, and now he wants to be the Attorney General for Minnesota. He's the Republican nominee. Just look him up. Look up his campaign website. Go to his Wikipedia page. If you hear any people who are hesitant about voting for Keith Ellison, just remind them of who the opposition is in Doug Wardlow. This is a guy that I think could very much fly under the radar because the media, and we're already seeing from the Republicans, they're going to try to make that election about Keith Ellison. At least in my opinion, I think eventually we're probably going to see the Republicans give up on that Tina Smith race, and unless Jeff Johnson makes any big movements in the polls for governor, I wouldn't be surprised if they start to kind of shy away from the Tim Walz and Jeff Johnson race and start to divert their resources into that attorney general race. Republicans have not won a statewide election in Minnesota since 2006. They're desperate to win anything, and I think once we start hitting late September, October, we're really going to see the GOP start to move their focus to that attorney general race. And I share the opinion of a lot of people here at the station, a lot of Democrats. If those allegations turn out to be true against Keith Ellison, then he should definitely be replaced on the ballot. But in the meantime, this Doug Wardlow guy is not someone we want to get in office. Again, that work for the Alliance Defending Freedom, basically just terrorizing LGBT people. And among other things, he also, of course, is going to be very pro-business as well, citing how he wants to curb unfair rules and regulations that burden, remember this old term, Hunter, from like 2010, 2011, job creators.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's the type of guy that is the GOP nominee for attorney general. Definitely cannot let that guy in. So even though we're going to see people try to make that election for attorney general about Keith Ellison, definitely warn them about the background of Doug Wardlow. He's a right-winger and extremist and not a guy we want representing us in our legal matters here in the state of Minnesota. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Coming up next, we're going to switch our focus to national politics for just a few minutes, even though we normally focus on local politics during the Matt McNeil Show and also the local Minnesota Radio Hour with Doug Padgett coming up next. There's a couple national issues I'd like to talk about as well with you and Hunters. That's coming up next here on AM 950.
With my girl. Hi, this is Charlie. My dad is Minnesota's wildly popular and handsome radio host, Matt McNeil. Did I say that right, Dad?
Perfect!
When I got my driver's license, my parents let me drive a Sienna from Rudy Luther Toyota. I love it. It's easy, comfortable, and hauls all my baseball gear. And my parents love the safety. That's why they wanted me in the Sienna.
Thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota, my son is safe as he begins his driving adventure. We're a two Sienna family thanks to Rudy Luther Toyota. Visit them today in Golden Valley at 169 and 394.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show, your source for elder care and caregiver solutions, inviting you to listen to our live show airing on Saturdays from noon to 1. On my next show, I'll be talking with Anita Zembra-Jatt from the New Perspective Senior Living Campus in Eagan, Minnesota, about trends in assisted living options for our aging population. Please join us this Saturday from noon to 1 for the Minnesota Hospice and Healthcare Show and learn more about us at minnesotahospice.com.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary products and services since 1977.
Progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett and Hunter filling in for Matt McNeil on your Friday afternoon. Very gloomy, rainy Friday afternoon, but I think we got some nice weather coming up tomorrow. Good sunny weather, because we're not going to have many more of those days. Pretty much gets, what, like early mid-October, and then we start getting down in the 50s and 40s. So get out and enjoy it. Get out to the state fair and see Hunter producing Native Roots Radio.
Woo!
Check that out tomorrow, 2 o'clock.
Yeah, very exciting. I'm 2 o'clock at the International Market Bazaar. I'm awake at 2, live show, and then the Native Pride Dancers right afterwards.
Absolutely. Make sure you check that out. Forget those Sweet Martha cookies or food on a stick or the grandstand or the politicians out there. Hunter Haas is at the state fair.
Yeah, buddy.
Enough of a reason to come out to the state fair.
Meet the AM 950 family.
Absolutely. Yeah, meet Robert Pilot. As he said, Curtis also going to be out there as well. So switching gears now, talking about some national issues, and this one's sad that popped up today. John McCain will probably not be returning to Washington full-time as a U.S. senator, as they announced that he is not going to be taking any more treatment for the brain cancer that he was diagnosed with last year. So unfortunately, John McCain just is not going to be with us probably for much longer, deciding to end that treatment, and I hope he definitely, you know, can get these next few months living in some comfort, even though I certainly disagree with him on a lot of issues. He still was very independent on some issues and definitely brought a voice to Washington among the Republican Party that we certainly don't see anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So John McCain, again, he is not going to be continuing with this treatment anymore. And the statement that the McCain campaign put out, or the McCain camp, I should say, it didn't indicate how much time he has left to live or whether he'll remain in the Senate or plans to vacate his seat as his health declines. But of course, he hasn't really been in the Senate for the past year or so. In fact, I think the last time he was even in the Senate was for that very famous vote he did stopping the Obamacare repeal last summer, which was one of the great moments we had for Senator John McCain, helping sink that Obamacare repeal, which I love because it just absolutely surprised those Republicans who all thought for sure Obamacare was going to go away. But Senator McCain did the right thing in keeping Obamacare.
That was a really rare moment because the Republicans were all excited when they saw him coming in, and he totally shocked everyone.
Mike Pence looked like he was about to cry that night.
Yeah.
Because he was in there ready to be that tie-breaking vote to put the Republicans over.
Just all smug.
Yeah,
and
he very smug, and then he kind of had that stoic, sad look on his face. So even though McCain, I would say kind of since that 2008 presidential campaign, has certainly drifted further to the right, and I think you and I were talking about it before the show, that you thought it was really the RNC when he got the nomination that was really pushing him in that direction, especially with the selection of his VP, Sarah Palin.
Yes.
He was very independent before then, but since 2008, yeah, he definitely has drifted more in that far right aspect. And yeah, just tell me what you're going to say about the VP nomination.
John McCain, when in 2008, actually selected Joe Lieberman as his running mate, but the RNC would not allow a pro-choice vice president, so they forced him to choose Sarah Palin. And then if you remember back to 2000, John McCain was really a more independent Republican who was, he was left of the Republican Party on a lot of issues. But in 2008, he really had made a firm right turn, and I believe that's all from the RNC pushing that on him.
Yeah, I definitely saw that turn because he had me initially concerned in 2008 running against Obama. I thought, well, we have an independent-minded Republican. He might actually be able to knock off Hillary or Obama, depending on who would have been the nominee back then. He had me very concerned, but yeah, he definitely took that rightward turn, and you get to see how uncomfortable he was with Sarah Palin as his running mate at that point. But just want to highlight some other things before 2008 and how things really could have been different with John McCain. In fact, in 2001, there were rumors that he was actually going to leave the Republican Party and become a Democrat. Can you imagine how different the Senate would have looked like if John McCain had become a Democrat?
Hmm.
Then also in 2004, this was a rumor that never got quite confirmed, but there were rumors that John Kerry actually wanted to select John McCain as his running mate back in 2004. And boy, hindsight is 2020. Ha, that's the election coming up. Didn't even do that intentionally. But you wonder if that ticket could have knocked off George W. Bush and Dick Cheney in 2004. And what a different country we would have had with a President Kerry and a Vice President McCain.
I mean, yeah, when we were talking about this, that alternative history is really interesting to think about. Or if in 2000, Al Gore won with Joe Lieberman as his running mate.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, then you're saying John Kerry and John McCain were a possibility. It's just, we could have had a totally different United States. And I'm not saying that that would be for the better necessarily, but it would have been a lot different and interesting.
It would have been a much different Democratic Party because, yeah, let's say if Gore and Lieberman had won in 2000, we would have a very centrist Democratic Party. And of course, if Kerry and McCain were the nominees in 2004 and they had gone on to win, we would have a very centrist Democratic Party. And in fact, if Kerry had won two terms, you wonder how that would have worked out if McCain presumably would have run for president after serving 8 years as a VP.
Yeah, it's kind of scary to think about because the Democrats could have had a lot more electoral success maybe with this, and that could have kept the party right in that center to center right area, which is scary to think of that picked up momentum because we're seeing a lot of progressive push in the Democratic Party today, which I think is very healthy and good, but interesting to think about that possibility.
Yeah, and the reason we're bringing this up is that even though McCain has definitely moved further to the right since about 2008, 2009 during that campaign, he once was a very independent-minded senator from Arizona that really could have changed the course of history if he had taken a couple opportunities to maybe switch to the Democratic Party. And boy, yeah, things certainly would have been different. But wish all our best to John McCain. Again, he's decided not to continue his treatment. We're not quite sure how much time he has left, but if you have brain cancer and you're not continuing treatment, unfortunately, it's probably not a whole lot left. And in terms of the replacement, the Arizona governor would select the replacement for John McCain should he step down or unfortunately pass. And that could really have a big impact on the 2018 elections because the governor of Arizona right now is Doug Ducey, and he's in kind of a toss-up race with the Democrats. The Democrats will select their nominee for governor in Arizona coming up next Tuesday. But if the Democrats were to pull off that win in November and then McCain were to retire from that Senate seat, that would actually be the Democrats and the Democratic governor who would be able to select the replacement, which could really change the dynamic in the Senate coming up in 2019 with how difficult a map we face coming up this fall.
Yeah. What is it at right now? Is it 51-49?
Yeah, it's 51-49, and just about every seat up for election this fall is held by a Democrat, including in some very tough races in West Virginia, North Carolina, and Missouri. But we do have some pickup opportunities as Democrats in, well, Jeff Flake is retiring in Arizona, so that's an open seat. We also have Dean Heller in Nevada. That's a pickup opportunity. Surprisingly, in Tennessee, this one was kind of flying under the radar, at least for me, since Bob Corker is not running for that seat anymore. That one's moved into the toss-up category as a former governor from Tennessee, Phil Bredesen, I don't know if I'm pronouncing his name correctly, he's actually moved into the lead in polling. And of course, oh man, would it be great if we could knock off Ted Cruz in Texas.
Yes, that's the one I'm looking forward to.
That's the
to.
One I'm going
to
be watching on election night as well. This has been Brett Johnson and Hunter Haas filling in for Matt McNeil. Again, he's back live in studio coming up next Wednesday. Stay tuned for Doug Padgett. He has a really good show coming up, including speaking with his astrophysicist. Get your science on coming up next on AM 950.